ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Satie was previously known as the pet daughter of Daksha. This we see that people have so many children, but sometimes they become more affectionate to one, especially because Satie was the youngest daughter. Daksha was very affectionate to her. Generally, the father is affectionate to the daughters more. So Sati was the pet daughter of Daksha. But when she married Lord Shiva, then Daksha's attitude changed. And although he had previously been so much affectionate, now he is very hard-hearted towards Sati. You can imagine how painful it must be for her, that she would always expect affection from her father. She always expected affection from her father, but now he was simply ignoring her. Sometimes that ignoring is the worst, most painful thing. Just like one devotee was saying to me, I used to get on his case a lot. Get on his case means chastise him. One devotee who I used to chastise a lot said something to me, because I'd said that I was afraid he was getting a little fried out by my chastisement, getting a little upset. So he said to me, I don't mind however much you chastise me, but please don't ignore me. If you chastise me, then I know that you still care for me, but if you ignore me, that means I'm being rejected. So Daksha was being very cold-hearted. It's practically the most crushing exchange is to not exchange, not to recognize someone's presence. I heard something our book distributors in Hong Kong were saying, that many times they'd go in an office to distribute books and they would talk to the secretaries and they would just go on with their work as if the devotee was not standing there. They would just completely ignore him as if he did not exist. That was their way of saying, we're not interested, we don't want your books. So it's very harsh kind of behavior, worse than giving strong words. To be so impersonal that you don't even recognize the other person exists. Of course, later on we're going to hear some harsh words from Daksha. The point is that he's so cruel in his behavior to his daughter, who previously he'd shown so much affection to. So this is the nature of material affection. If there's some disturbance in one's sense gratification, then that affection can turn to cruel rejection. You see, the ladies, they did not reject Sati. Her mother and sisters embraced her. Embracing, what does that mean? That means putting heart to heart, means accepting. It's a very strong gesture of acceptance. Means acceptance not just on the formal level, but like that, heart to heart. And ignoring or chastising with cruel words means rejecting. So this is very painful. To be rejected is very painful. Whatever the materialists may say, that life, we are just a combination of chemicals, the fact is that we have emotions and feelings very strongly. Why do people commit suicide? So many suicide cases are there. Because they feel so much depressed. Why do they feel depressed? Because every living being is meant for love. So when a person feels so much detached, or so much rejected from anybody's love, then he may commit suicide. Or he may take shelter of intoxication. In our Krishna conscious movement, we have no intoxication. People are surprised because it's not actually for the taste. They say, drink this beer, very good taste. But it's not actually for the taste, but it's for the intoxicating effect. That is the main reason people take intoxication. Experience. Because that intoxication gives a false and temporary feeling of well-being. In a very perverted way, a drunken man feels, now I feel good. So people are surprised why we don't take intoxication, because they cannot imagine living without it. Oh, but it makes you feel so good, they think. But devotees don't need intoxication to feel good, because they feel good in the service of Krishna. because they're developing their relationship with Krishna. So in this material world, our relationships, they are a perverted reflection of our original relationship with Krishna. In spiritual life, the devotee simply gives himself to Krishna, and Krishna gives himself to the devotee. Sadhu hridayang mahyam, sadhu nam hridayang tvaham, madanyat te na jananti, nahang te bhyo managapi. This is a verse spoken by Lord Vishnu to Durvasa Muni. Lord Vishnu. Durvasa Muni had insulted Ambarish Maharaj, and Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra came to punish him. So even though he was a great yogi, he was subject to the humiliation of running away. And even he was trying to take shelter of different demigods, but they told him, we can't protect you. So eventually he came to see Lord Vishnu. He couldn't understand what's going on. I'm a yogi, this Ambarish, he insulted me. I gave him fitting punishment. Of course, Durvasa was pretty extreme. Extreme. Just because Ambarish Maharaj drank a little water, Durvasa Muni created a demon capable of destroying the whole universe to attack him. When Durvasa came to Lord Vishnu to beg for protection, Lord Vishnu explained to Durvasa that why has Lord Vishnu reacted so strongly to protect this Ambarish Maharaj? Lord Vishnu, why is he reacting? He's explaining why he is reacting so strongly to protect Ambarish Maharaj. And he's only a king, he's a worldly man. He's not a brahmana, he's only a kshatriya. He's not a sannyasi or a yogi, he's a grihastha. Why is Lord Vishnu making such an extreme reaction to protect him? Lord Vishnu described, you don't understand, Durvasa. The saints, the devotees, they are in my heart, they are my heart. Sadhavo hridayang mahyam. And I am in the heart of the devotees. I don't know anything but them, and they don't know anything but me. This is the relationship of Krishna with his devotees. Just like we were saying, embracing heart to heart, that Prabhupada explained once that in Sanskrit there are three words for friend. One word is mitra. It means well-wisher. It means like an ordinary acquaintance. Then bandhu means a real friend, more than an acquaintance. And suhrit means heart-to-heart friend. You don't have a saying like that in Russian?
Heart-to-heart.
Yeah, most languages they'll have something like that. You know, heart-to-heart means that one cannot live without the other. That one, each other feels the pains and pleasures of each other, the same as their own. That is the relationship between Krishna and his devotees that cannot even be imagined in this material world. Because in this material world, the friendship, the love, it's all based on sense gratification. There are so many examples. Here is one just here. Daksha with Sati. He was so much affectionate, but then he became so much cruel. You see, if someone just on the street calls you some bad name, you don't care much for that. And if an unknown person says something, what do you care? But if a known person, if someone who's your friend chastises you, that you may not take it very badly because you know he's my friend. If the relationship is very strong and fixed, then the friend even can say something very strong to the other, but that won't affect the friendship. But if someone who's very close says words which are not just chastising, but actually very cruel, if a person who is very close becomes cruel, then that hurts very deeply. That we find in Mahabharata, that's described, that sharp words, they pierce the heart more than arrows. So especially women are very sensitive. So it's very, very painful for them. This, if they have such harsh treatment, it's very painful for them. So we recommend everyone to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna will not cheat us. In the spiritual world, even for the sake of Leela, sometimes there is arguing and fighting between Krishna and his devotees. But there is no break in the loving relationship. Even if Krishna and Radharani fight, but that fighting is the cause of increased love for each other. There is no question of divorce. But now Radharani doesn't love Krishna anymore. Now she'll go off with Lord Shiva or something like this. There's no question. There's no question, anyway, we don't want to say it. It's nonsense. There's no question. Radharani is always attached to Krishna eternally. And Krishna is attached to Radharani, and Krishna is attached to all the living beings in the spiritual world, even down to the blades of grass. So it's better to take shelter of Krishna. Here Prabhupada has written that women are naturally soft-hearted. And as Prabhupada has noted in his purport in one of the prayers to Queen Kunti, generally in every religious tradition, women come more than men. Generally, women are more interested in religion because they tend to have a simple acceptance. Yes, there is God, let us pray to him. So that is a good advantage. If someone comes and, no, I don't believe all this, and why should I follow this? And so many different arguments. If they are very doubtful, they have a very doubtful nature, then it's not easy for them to take to Krishna consciousness. But if someone comes and immediately they're inclined to pray to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, then even without understanding so much philosophy, they immediately come to the elevated position of serving Krishna. Of course, that tendency to worship can be easily misdirected without proper philosophical understanding. That's why we see in India, for instance, there's a very strong tendency for the people to worship. No, not necessarily bhoga, that's the problem. There's a strong tendency to worship. That is the problem, that the tendency to worship without understanding actually who they should worship. So practically anything, you can, they'll worship anything. We were on traveling Sankirtan this is many years ago, this is 20 years ago in India. And on our party, some of the devotees were having a joke. Now, they brought one stone. And there's just one big stone, and they were saying, we could tell some stories about this, and we can get, definitely you can get some people to worship it. Just any stone, not Shalagram Shula, just some stone they found on the side of the street. If you just tell people that this stone has got great mystic potency, you can definitely get someone, if not the whole village, to start worshipping it. So the tendency to worship is good, but philosophical understanding is required also. That's why we have chanting, dancing, prasadam distribution. These things immediately appeal to the heart of those who are soft-hearted. We also have philosophy and books to appeal to the intellect of those who want to understand philosophically. Now, both things are required. Without careful study of Prabhupada's books, regularly by all the devotees, then almost certainly they're going to go away from the proper line of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say that even if you can't read books, you can just chant Hare Krishna and you can achieve all perfection. But you have to chant Hare Krishna. In that case, you'd have to chant Hare Krishna under the guidance of someone who is reading Prabhupada's books. Because if we don't take that guidance, then we'll be under the guidance of our own mind. And what does that mean? If we go on the chariot of our mind, then where do we end up? In Murmansk, in the darkness. We end up in the darkness of ignorance. So we have to take philosophical understanding. Prabhupada also used to say that, just like he told Harikesh Maharaj, you are authorized to read these books 24 hours a day. You can also achieve perfection simply by hearing or simply by reading these books. But then again, this statement has to be understood properly. But this statement has to be understood properly. Just like in Malaysia, there was someone joined our temple, but he only wanted to read books. And he did. He sat all day, every day, and only read Prabhupada's books. But he didn't want to do any service. Prabhu, could you help clean the floor? No, I'm reading. So, he didn't really understand the books. Because all the books tell us that we should serve Krishna unconditionally. So if you make some condition, I can only do this kind of service, that is not pure devotional service. If we think reading Prabhupada's books is like some kind of intellectual or academic exercise, that by my brain I will understand Krishna, it's not possible. Krishna consciousness is not simply an intellectual exercise. It is the activity of the soul called Jaiva Dharma. The function of the soul is to serve Krishna unconditionally. It means a pure devotee, he's prepared to do any service in Krishna's service. Now, in the neophyte stage, we may be engaged according to our propensities. But the real platform of Krishna consciousness is to do the needful. Do whatever is needed to be done in Krishna's service. to be engaged, if we think I'll only do what I like to do in Krishna's service, that's not pure devotional service.
Yes.
Rather, we should be prepared to do whatever is needed to be done in Krishna's service. And there are so many things to be done in Krishna's service. Sometimes devotees think, well, I'll just do this service, and I won't do any other service, because then I can really concentrate on that service. Well, that may be true, but we have to see what is required to be done in Krishna's service. Just like you can imagine, if Krishna is herding the cows in the hot summer, so he's very hot. So if he's hot, then what should we do? We should fan him. But then if you think, well, I'm only going to sing for Krishna. Sing. Sing. You know what we do most of the time? Okay. I like singing. I'm only going to sing for Krishna. So you're standing there singing, and Krishna's so hot. So is that proper service? You have to see what Krishna wants. That is more developed concept of service. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
You mentioned in the lecture that one who doesn't read books had to chant and being guided by the person who is reading. What does it mean, being guided by that kind of person?
What does it mean? What does that mean?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm throwing the question back. You don't understand what this means? It means you act under the direction and instructions. If you like, you can look the word up in the dictionary. It's a normally understood word, guide. Generally, all devotees should read Prabhupada's books. As Prabhupada has written in one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of my disciples should read all of my books. Otherwise, gradually, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. Patam. Patam means after. So they mean fall. Patan in Sanskrit means fall, so I thought. Uh-huh. Any other question?
Is it possible that one devotee can become the cause of falling down of another?
Ultimately, whether we serve Krishna or not is up to us. If we are sincere to serve Krishna, there's nothing that anybody can do to stop that. Purusha sukha dukha anam bhakti dvehita rujit. There's our happiness and distress in this material world. Our fate is, as Krishna says in the Gita, our fate is in our own hands. Now, if our faith is very weak, it may be that someone may break that faith, either by preaching some wrong idea to us or by behaving so badly that we may think, well, if this is a devotee, I don't want to be like that. So, as long as one is in the immature neophyte stage, then his faith is very weak. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes komal shraddha, means very, his faith is, it can be destroyed very easily. But ultimately that means that's our own rascaldom, lack of sincerity. Any other question?
I would like to investigate the term in Bhakti Deva when we call our payment while prayer. What is that?
Yeah, I also investigated that, but I couldn't find anyone who could give a clear answer. Who is that? Of course, that can always be understood as a name for Radharani, who is the personification of devotion to Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.